Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Alrighty, folks, this is episode number 126 of YWC Football Talk. It is a good day today because the Patriots won. And who better to have on for a Patriots win than for, actually, it's his first time this season back on the show with me, but Pat Lane from Pat's Pulpit, from the Pat's Nation podcast. He's back. Patriots win. It's a good day. Pat, you feeling as good as I am?
Feeling good. I'm feeling good, man. 5-4, and Bills lost today to the Jags, and things are looking good. Things are looking good in the AFC for the Patriots.
Yeah, exactly. We were talking about it off camera just before we started recording, but it's open season for the AFC. Like, that's honestly the thing I liked about the NFL as a whole this year. Maybe in the NFC, it's a little not like the same, but you don't really know who's going to win. Like, there's no clear cut favorite. Like, there's the teams that obviously you can already tell that are cut above the rest, but then this wild card races and these divisional races are truly going to come down to December. I don't think you're going to see any of the whole, champ crowd by Thanksgiving night things that we've seen in the past.
100%. I mean, everyone keeps expecting, and I do too, keeps expecting the Chiefs to, all of a sudden just make that leap and be good. They play like garbage again today. Luckily Aaron Rodgers did what he does, and Jordan Love looked terrible in his first start. And so they ended up losing by 6. And so, they get a win to get to 5-4, same record as you, but like, right now, the Chiefs don't scare me, and they shouldn't scare anyone. They're playing awful offensively and defensively. They had a good game defensively today. Like I said, Love missed a million passes, but like, every team looks beatable in the AFC. The Bengals looked like the best team in the AFC 2 weeks ago, and they've lost 2 straight games. One of them to the Jets, and then one of them they got absolutely shit pumped today by the Browns. Like, they're just not for real anymore. So you look at the Bengals, say, okay, they stink. All right, now on to the next. Like. And Cleveland now, had that big game against the Bengals. Now you get Cleveland next week. If you beat Cleveland, now all of a sudden you're sitting there saying, okay, I'm 6-4, or we're 6-4 heading into the game against Atlanta. And all of a sudden we might be able to make some noise here in the AFC. And so that's, and like we said, we talked about a little bit off air, like it's not necessarily a must win this weekend, but like, after getting to 5-4 and getting above 500 for the first time all year, to be able to kind of put some, a 4-game winning streak is no joke. And to be able to win 4 games in a row and win games in your conference, and now you're looking at it saying, all right, like, this is where we can really make some noise. And again, it's just going to end up where – this is where I'm looking at it. Right now, even if they lose to Cleveland, you got a shot to make the playoffs, right? They're the 7th seed right now. You got a shot to make the playoffs, even if you lose to Cleveland. If you beat Cleveland, now you might be talking about you got a chance to win the division. And I think that's something that I most certainly did not expect. I would say the majority of people that talk about or look at the NFL or watch the NFL wouldn't have expected that either. And so that's something that's pretty exciting because now, you get the same amount of wins as the Bills and you get a tough matchup in Cleveland. You beat Cleveland. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, now we got the Bills. We still got 2 against the Bills. So like, obviously you got to take care of business there, but like it gives you an opportunity now to get on the board and somehow, win the AFC East.
No, exactly. 100%. You're right. It's just, you always love to see parity in the NFL in my eyes, but even going back to your points too, like Kansas City, I feel like tomorrow you're going to see all these like network heads and stuff, like whether it be Fox or ESPN. I like to avoid that for obvious reasons. Look, for my football, we know we've talked about this before, both stoolies, I go to Part of My Take and some other stuff, but with those guys, they're going to come out tomorrow, and be like, oh, can this turn Kansas City season around? Can this do this, this, and this? But the way I look at the Chiefs right now is, yeah, their defense doesn't scare me. I've been saying this for weeks on here now. I feel like whenever Patrick Mahomes makes a play, he's always looking for that da-na-na-na-na-na music to follow his play.
Yeah.
And them next week, they have a huge test against the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday Night Football, which is going to be interesting because obviously the Raiders lost today to the also the Giants. But back to the Patriots, look at this time last year. We were 2-5. Yeah, we were 2-5.
Yeah.
The Monday Nighter where I'll be honest, we should have lost the Monday Nighter against the Jets. I remember being fired up because we had the crappy month of October. We had the Kansas City loss, Denver, got killed by San Francisco, and then have them fumble against Buffalo, and then to go into New York and win that game, which was a game, like I said, we shouldn't have won. Man, being 5-4 right now, honestly, it feels so good. And also, too, like you're saying, it's the first time we were above 500 this season and above 500 for the first time since last September, which is just crazy to think about considering how good the Patriots have been for so long.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's one of those things where to me, it's kind of like, all right, you're going to get some up and downs from Mac, right? I think Mac played pretty well last week. You know, he played really well against the Jets, played decent last week. He played okay today. He wasn't great, but he played okay. He had a really nice touchdown pass to Hunter Henry where it was put in the exact spot. It had to be in that exact spot. The coverage was pretty good, but he rifled it in there. He got it low in a spot that only Hunter Henry could make a play on it, and he made a play on it, which was good. And so those are the things you'd like to see. He missed a lot of throws too, I felt like. And so obviously you want some of those throws back, but realistically you look at it and say, okay, like, you know, I can deal with that from Mac Jones. To get a game like that that you got today out of Mac and still win is good. It's a good sign for the Patriots. It really is a good sign for the Patriots moving forward, because you look at it and say, all right, we got that game. Mac wasn't perfect, but we still got the win. And that's huge, you know, for the confidence of this team and, you know, the Patriots moving forward. To get a win like that, you know, with your quarterback having a mediocre game is really, really impressive. And, you know, I think defensively, I mean, look, they scored 6 points, right? They scored 6 points, and all 6 points were off of turnovers where Carolina took over in field goal range already. The Carolina was in field goal range on both of those drives when they got the ball. So for them to not score a touchdown and have to settle for field goals on both of those drives is really impressive for the Patriots. And so I look at it and just say, hey, man, the defense was great today. And Sam Darnold, of course, you know, seeing ghosts and everything like that out there. And the best news that for Sam Darnold is that he's going to play the Patriots another 4 years. You know, but hey, I mean, like, they're still pros. They're still NFL guys, right? And you know, they had some plays. The play to Christian McCaffrey that Barmore knocked down. I mean, McCaffrey was by himself in the end zone. He had 10 yards of separation from Dont'a Hightower, and Barmore got his hand up and knocked the ball down. Like, that, those are things where, like, that's a play that not a lot of people are going to remember, not a lot of people are going to talk about, but that saves a touchdown, you know? And those are plays that, you know, that make differences in the games, and the Patriots defense right now is making those plays. And, you know, and you have to tip your hat to them because they've been really good.
Yeah, exactly. And also, as we were saying, look, it was 24-6. Was it the best win? No, but it was a win. But I just always remind myself, look, anyone can win, but good teams will find any way to win. And that's what kind of separates, I feel like, this year's team from last year's team is that, look, the last two games weren't exactly pretty wins, but they were wins in the sense of, look, the defense did enough to bail them out. Obviously, two pick sixes back-to-back weeks. I couldn't tell you the last time that's happened with the Patriots.
Yeah,
it's been a while. But even today, too, I remember when J.C. Jackson picked him off. I'm like, stop looking back. Because I feel like every time, no matter who does it in the NFL, if they look back as they get the ball, like, that's when they get taken down. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, as soon as he beat him. And as soon as we beat him, I had a feeling we were going to win the game. But no, even another player I want to shout out for today's game was Godchow. Godchow had a really good game today. I feel like because that's the thing. Our front seven has been so much better this year already compared to last year. Obviously, we know how depleted it was last year. But just the fact that they're making these plays that, look, no one else may look at, but, like, we'll look at it and go, look, there's stuff to see there. Christian Barmore, too, like he said, probably still the steal of the draft from this year in my eyes. Like, how he fell to 30, I think it was 36, 37. 38. As soon as we made the trade up, I had never been more excited for a Patriots draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
I was so excited when we got him because I remember him from the national championship being like, all right, this kid can ball. But and even too, like, we didn't let, like, that's the thing too. Christian McCaffrey, obviously he's been hurt, but still, you're a big fantasy dude. I know this. Number one pick in every draft I've been in, probably number one pick in a lot of the drafts you were in. Basically did nothing today. I know he's been on a bit of may have seen like a pitch count and stuff, and Chuba Hubbard had a lot of the good runs, but at the same time too, the defense, look, when it came time to shut down to make plays, they made plays. And the fact that Steve Belichick, I know people like to say he's interesting, he has the hair, he does the tongue thing. Look, he gets the job done, and now next week we go into a matchup with Cleveland that it's just wild to think that right now that a matchup with the Cleveland Browns is still jockeying for where teams can finish come December or January. And I'm only saying that obviously because of how bad Cleveland was forever.
Right. Well, and that's, I mean, that's really what happens, right? It's interesting because the Bengals have kind of reminded themselves, they've kind of remembered that they're the Bengals, right? And so is that going to happen to the Browns? Are the Browns all of a sudden going to be like, shoot, we're the Browns and we suck. That's right. We forgot. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, and that's what happens. I mean, the Bengals, you know, the Panthers today, like you said, man, what they had, what, 66, 70, they had like 78 yards rushing today. And they've been over 150, like pretty consistently per game. And the Patriots really kind of shut them down. And so, you know, that's the type of thing where you look at it and say, all right, hey, listen, yes, maybe McCaffrey was a little hampered and wasn't healthy, but like he hasn't been healthy for the last few weeks. And they've still been running the ball effectively with Chuba Hubbard. So I think they said, though, they ran for like 140 yards last week, but they had zero runs over 10 yards, which is wild when you think about that. But what that means is that you're consistently able to get your guys 4 or 5 yards a carry. Like, you know, if you're doing that, you're not picking up 3 yards a carry, you're picking up 4 or 5 yards a carry. He's just not breaking those tackles to, you know, to pick you up 15, 20 yards, but you're consistently getting him, you know, lanes to pick up yards. And that didn't happen today, right? That just didn't happen today for them. And so, you know, there were times once the game got a little bit out of hand, there were some times where they broke some runs. They had some passes, but they were mostly because the Patriots were playing off and saying, okay, we'll give you the short stuff because we're beating you by 18. Like, what difference does it make? You know? And so I think the way they played today, man, was so good. And Barmore is funny. You mentioned, like, he was mocked to the Patriots at 15 a lot. And I was like, I swear to God, if the Patriots draft a freaking defensive lineman at 15 with a need for quarterback, I'm going to throw something out the window. Like, I'm going to lose my mind. And I think that was justifiable in the moment. And, of course, they draft Mac Jones at 15, and it was great. But then when Barmore's still there, it was like, are they going to go get him? Because, like, this is the guy that fits perfectly. It's exactly what they need. You know, and I think the Broncos, I think, traded up to 36, I want to say, to get Williams, the running back out of UNC. And, you know, and so it was like, so now you're sitting there saying, okay, well, you know, Cincinnati's got to take a lineman and whatever. So, you know, so you say, okay, since he's there and you trade up and you make the pick, and it's like, you know, you give up 2 fourth-round picks as well as your 3rd-round pick to move up and get him. But like, I mean, as you said, it looks like the Steelers draft right now. Like, he should have been a 1st-round pick for sure. And there were questions about his motor, what, you know, how much he had and if he really wanted to play and the talent. You know, you talk to scouts about him. Talent was always there. Talent was always there with him. The question was, is he going to play consistently hard on every single play? And there was some questions as to whether that was the case. And right now, and again, we're only 9 games into his career, but right now, he's been consistently balling out. And you've heard Belichick just sing his praises, which you don't hear him do with rookies. And he's just, oh, he's in there. He's working hard. He's progressing, doing. It doesn't happen, you know, with especially with rookies. And, you know, Bill's really pumping his tires a lot. And that makes me feel all warm and fuzzy when I think about the Patriots' new defensive lineman, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Two other players I want to give shout-outs to for today. Well, I mean, Miles Bryant, I think he cracked DJ Moore's ribs in that one. But, yep. Like, that was a good football hit. And the other one, too, is another rookie who's finally finding his footing. I felt bad for him after game one, but Ramondre Stevenson really filling the role. I know Damian Harris, obviously RB1, he's been great all year. Yes. But Stevenson, when he's come in, he's made plays, which obviously, unfortunately, hopefully he's not. I believe it was a head injury, so we'll see what happens for him. But yeah, that's the other thing too I was going to say, because with head injuries, I know Gunners, as soon as I saw him, I'm like, yeah, that's a concussion. Like, that was one of those ones where I saw, like, I haven't played too much football, but like, I've watched enough to know, I'm like, okay, he's concussed. So hopefully Ramondre's fine, but we'll see. But no, I'm going to call Keegan right here. He's a hoss. I'm not going to say blunt force trauma with him, because that term lived and died with LeGarrette Blount, excuse me. But he kind of reminds me of like a miniature version of him.
Yeah. I mean, Stevenson, and he's good catching the ball to the backfield. I thought that was one of Mac's best reads of the day, where he just kind of looped it over the top and knew that there was going to be a defensive lineman on Stevenson, and Stevenson just outran him and picked up, you know, 25 yards on the catch or whatever it was. That's the type of stuff that you love to see. You know, and Stevenson's been great. I mean, he averaged 6.2 yards per carry today. Like, he really did a nice job carrying the ball. You mentioned Damian Harris. He scored another touchdown. I believe that's 5 games in a row. Four games in a row, 5 TDs in the last 4 games. Like, he's just been He's been awesome. And, you know, he only averaged 2 yards per carry today. It wasn't a ton of running room for him in the middle. But like, man, he, you know, you get him near the goal line and he's scoring. So, you know, it's one of those things for me where I look at it and say like, all right, you know, we're on the right track with this running game. And Stevens has been a big part of that. Now, you know, Harris left with an injury. Stevenson left with an injury. So, you know, they're already shorthanded with James White out for the year. So, like, the question is, can either of those guys bounce back and be healthy this week? If not, you're looking at Brandon Bolden and J.J. Taylor next week. Like, you know, in a game that you have to win and you're going to want to run the ball a decent amount against Cleveland, because you got to remember, Cleveland's got Myles Garrett. Like, that's tough. That's a tough assignment. You know, and Clowney on the other side, right? So that's a tough assignment for anyone, never mind, you know, Isaiah Flippin' Wynn, who, like, has just been garbage. And listen, Isaiah Wynn has decent plays, too. He does okay. But some of the plays where you know, the strip sack on Mac, that's a full-on miscommunication by somebody. Because, yes, Hunter Henry blocks him, but then he clearly releases to go out for a route. And Isaiah Wynn blocks nobody. So, like, if you're Isaiah Wynn, you have to know that you have that guy. Or, you know, maybe it was a miscommunication by Henry, and Henry shouldn't let the guy go. I don't know. But, like, somebody screwed up there. And to me, I'm going to blame Isaiah Wynn because he blocked nobody on that play. He didn't do anything, right? So, like, those are the types of things that can't happen. You're going to get your young quarterback killed. The offensive line's been much better as of late. You know, and so, look, things happen. Like, it is what it is. What are you going to do? But, like, you know, we need more out of a guy like Isaiah Wynn. We really do. And so we'll see what happens to Trent Brown. If he's able to come back, he should be able to come back at this point, come off of IR. He obviously hasn't yet. He hasn't been spotted at practice. There's been really no word on him since he went on IR. So, like, I don't know if he's going to come back this year. I honestly don't. I don't know. So, you know, they don't really have. Justin Herron was fine at left tackle, but, like, Isaiah Wynn is a better player than Justin Herron. So, like, You don't want to be rolling out with Justin Herron, but, like, you got to be able to run the ball against the Browns. And, you know, if you can't, you're going to be a lot of trouble if those two can pin their ears back and come after you, because, you know, they're two of the best in the league getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. And even because with the offensive linemen, there's, like, always two guys I feel like we're playing great today. Because, like, a lot of the times with football, look, it's when you don't play well, not when you don't play well, it's when your name doesn't get called out by anyone. And that was David Andrews and Ted Karras, Ted Karras at one guard. But, He's even coming up in fine. I remember when Ted Karras signed here in March, everyone thought, oh, that's because David Andrews was out. And the next day, like, David Andrews obviously re-signs with the Patriots. So he did the same thing like Hightower and McCourty have done in the past, where they'll go out, test the market, then realize, hey, look, maybe I want to stay home. So they stay home. But, like, yeah, apart from Wynn, though, I feel like, look, the offensive line was, like, okay today. Like, they weren't, like, they didn't let up any plays. And obviously, too, there's two. Now I can think of two strip sacks on Mac throughout the year, where it was the Dallas game and then Carolina today. But, no. All in all, when I look at it today, it's like we said before, hey, a win's a win. That's all right. We can do. And when I get to wake up and see that the Patriots won and everyone getting to talk about it, Victory Monday feels a little sweeter.
Yeah. You know, and that's really the thing. I mean, honestly, at this point, it's just, you know, win and just keep going. And really, like, you know, for the Patriots now, it's again, like, let's string these games together. You get a 3-game winning streak, which is great. And now you give yourself a chance. Whereas before, like you mentioned, we were 1-3. And I'm looking at it saying, not only are you 1-3, you're 0-3 at home. Like, this is not good, right? This is really bad. And so you need to find a way to start winning some games, right? And so to start out 0-4 at home, right? And be 2-4, 0-4 at home, you're like, whoa, like, this is not good. You know, you get those home games and you're kind of like, all right, you got to win some of these home games because the road is a tough road. And of course, now they're undefeated on the road. They got 4-0 on the road, for God's sakes, right? But, like, you know, you have to win those games. And, you know, and so we'll see what happens, obviously. But, like, to be 5-4 and in this situation where, you know, at 2-4, at 1-3 and 2-4, you're looking at it saying, yeah, no, I don't think so. Like, yeah, you played some of those games close. Obviously, you put the Dallas game close, and you played the Tampa game close, but you still got to win, right? And to not win those games, you know, to not win the Dolphins game at the beginning of the season, and to lose the other two close games, you're like, man, that just you feel like you have an opportunity and you're squandering it. And now to be back up over 500, and again, it's wide open in the AFC. It's wide open. Yes, the Ravens look very good. Yes, the Titans, after last week and then this week already. Now, who knows what's going to happen at the end of the second half? They're up 21-3 at the half. Like, you're looking at it saying, okay, like the Titans could be for real and they could be a really tough team to play with who you're going to have to play in a few weeks. But like, you look at it and just say, all right, at least we have a chance now. We got a chance to kind of make some noise. And so, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot more fun than it was a few weeks ago. So I will, I'll absolutely take it.
Exactly. But also I'll say this too, is that 21-3 at the half is the scariest score I know in sports, because that was the score of Super Bowl 51 at the half was 21-3.
It was in fact.
And I remember everyone at my Super Bowl party is enjoying Lady Gaga, and I'm sitting there like, we're getting killed. This is great. I don't think anyone's doing that tonight, even though tonight's game is the home of this year's Super Bowl. But at the same time too, look, it's just something you always got to keep guard of. Like, for example, the hat you're wearing right now, Boston Bruins, last night when the Leafs went up 4-1, I'm like, oh, great, my PTSD is kicking in, especially when Pasternak scored. But then they got the empty netter. Who scored the fifth goal? I think it was Johnny or it was Matthews. One of the two of them got the fifth goal, and then they won, so it was all good. But no, back to football. There are two players I just got to shout out from the season because, like whenever their name gets called, they do good, and one guy should have drawn at least 5 penalties a game, but he doesn't. Matthew Judon, that's the thing. He has become one of my new favorite Patriots. And also to the fact that this team look like they're having fun. And also to the offensive player, I got to say, is Kendrick Bourne. He got off to a bit of a slow start, but ever since the Saints game, he makes catches when you need him to make a catch. Like he's Mr. Reliable.
Yeah. KB is a good guy. And you know what? He's one of those guys that like, you can feel like the locker room really likes that guy. It's funny because the Patriots have always kind of relied on the locker room chemistry and the chemistry in the locker room and the way things have been. And, you know, Cam, of course, is a huge personality and everyone liked Cam. But I feel like now you're talking about guys that people really love and respect and they play their asses off. Judon is just, he's disgusting. He's disgusting. Like there's just no other way to put it. Like, he's in the backfield on every play. He gets held on every single play, and half the time they don't call it. He's a force in the running game. He's a force in the passing game. He's just there all the time. And Darnold got away from him a few times, but like he's in Darnold's face nonstop, just like he's done that all year long. He's got 9 sacks through 9 games, which is the third most in Patriots history through 9 games in a season. So like, you know, in his career high is 9.5 sacks in a season. He's balling out right now. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, you have the guys on the inside that have been playing well, but also like he's so good against the run as well that it's hard to, you know, it's hard to like leave him alone almost. You know, you're like, okay, what are we going to do? Block him with 3 guys? Because you can't really do that because you're worried about the guys on the inside or you're worried about the guys blitzing, you know, from the linebacker spot. So, it's really been a collective team effort, but Judon's just been so good. And you can see how well like those guys are, right? Judon's like, he says he's like the DJ of the locker room, right? And Bourne is just looks like he's always having a blast out there. And so, you know, those are the guys where it's like, you need to rely on those guys. I will also say the other guy, and you mentioned him too, is Miles Bryant. Like, I feel like Miles Bryant's a guy where Patriots cut him to start the season. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, I thought he was poised to have a breakout year this year if he played well last year as a rookie. And they cut him. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? And he's been phenomenal since he got called up for the practice squad.
Yeah, exactly. It's just one of those things. Like, look, as you make your chances, make your opportunities, you just got to know when to cash in and know, look, when your name gets called, make the plays that matter. But we'll see what happens. It's just, like I said before, it just feels so good. Like the fact that not only to come on and talk, this is the first time I've ever talked this is the first time in a long time I've actually talked like post game after a win. Cause the only other time I talked post game this year was I did the Jets week 2. That was just me. And I did week 1 with actually had a buddy of mine who's from South Carolina, also a huge Patriots fan, dating back to Drew Bledsoe. He was at the game today. Shout out Phil. He was actually on my show. Him and I were on Thursday. We had a lot to uncover and talk about. That was not the best situation to talk about, but probably no. Even too, I'm going to say, like, Juwan Bentley, even today, too. Like, there's, like, so many players from this defense that are making so many impactful plays that, look, you need that. And also, too, the fact that, look, hey, now, like, last year where it was, okay, look, it was a pipe dream to sneak in, but we were still figuring out ways. Okay, if this happens, if this happens, if this, 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 this happens. And then obviously we beat Baltimore on a Sunday night, and that changed a lot of perspective in that pouring rain of a game. But now it actually feels like, look, hey, playing the playoffs is not like a long shot question. It's a, this team can be there come the middle of January. And I only say that now because, look, we have two games to play in January this year.
Yeah, well, that, like you say, they'll be playing in January no matter what, right? But it is, yeah, I mean, they have a shot. They have a real, it's a realistic shot of making the playoffs. And right now, and again, like I said, regardless of what happens moving forward, you got a realistic shot of making the playoffs. You win Sunday, and I turn my eyes to the AFC East and say, you got a shot at winning that division, right? And so, you know, that to me is, this is a big test for them. Obviously, these next 4 weeks, and then you get Buffalo. But, like, to me, you win this weekend, and you're like, okay, now we got a shot, right? And of course, then you got to keep taking care of business. But, like, the way this defense has been playing, right, I think Spags tweeted something out, like, they've outscored their opponents, like, 105 to, like, 40 or something like that in the past 3 weeks. They're dominating right now. Of course, it's a little skewed by scoring 54 against the Jets, but still – to be able to put up numbers and to not allow a lot of points defensively, I mean, I don't know how you can't look at this team and be excited about where they're headed.
Exactly, exactly. And also, to look, two of us right now, we're talking more about the Patriots or know more about the Patriots than Adam Archuleta did earlier today. Because we all know, look, that was just painful to listen today. I thought for the Texans, I was going to say Texans and Jets, you obviously were in attendance for those. Andrew Cattle and Lofton weren't ideal, but man, the commentary was horrible today.
Those guys, Justin Bethel had the pick six. I mean, I was like, Justin Bethel, what the hell are you looking at, dude?
Yeah.
And then Mac comes out at the end of the game. They didn't even know he was out. They didn't even mention it. Gunner got hurt. They didn't mention that. They mentioned nothing. They had no idea what was going on in the field. Adam Marshall was talking about Mac Jones, like, oh, yeah, he had a good game, blah, blah, blah. He's not even in the game. Yeah. Brian Hoyer's in the game. Then they go to commercial for the 2-minute warning. And Gumbel's like, oh, as you can see, it looks like Brian Hoyer is coming into the game. And I'm like, what? He's been in the game. What are you talking about? Like, they had no idea what the hell they were looking at. And it was just like one of those ones where you're like, what are you doing? You know, and it was bad. It was bad. They sucked today.
I already looked at it for next week. Obviously, I know you're going to be at the game, but I believe it's going to be, once again, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis calling the game next week. They were okay last week. I didn't totally mind them, but we'll see what happens. Because that's the thing that sucks about the Patriots this year is that we've had so many more of the bad teams on for commentary calling our games. Like, we've only had one Nance and Romo game, and then we get Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for the Thursday nighters. And it's always interesting with those two.
I'm surprised they're not getting a better team with the Cleveland game. But then again,
Packers play the Seahawks in the prime spot. That's probably.
I was going to say, typically you get the prime spot, you get that team. So, but you know, I mean, who knows? Listen, you know, it is what it is. I almost zoned those guys out. I'm like, whatever. I barely even listen to you. But then I was watching. So I was on my way home. I went out to my buddy came up from Florida.
Nice.
And so we went out to watch the first half, and I was on my way driving home from the bar when they had the pick six. And I was like, oh my God. So I listened to it on the radio and I watched it back on Twitter actually. And I'm like, did he just say Justin Bethel? Like, what the hell was he? What are you looking at? How could you possibly think that was Justin Bethel? You know? And you mentioned him looking back at Robbie Anderson, who was heated on the sideline yelling at Sam Darnold, and rightfully so, I think. But either way, he said, he's like, I had strep throat this week. He's like, I didn't think I was going to play. And he thought he was going to get caught by Robbie. He kept looking back because he thought Robbie Anderson was going to catch him, right? And he won a fumble, obviously. So it was just, you know, kind of an interesting situation with Jackson this week, obviously. But he balled out today again. Darnold was terrible. You know, was out there seeing ghosts and everything still. But man, it was good to see. It was good to see a win. And like I said, the defense, they play like that. And there's not many teams in the AFC that's going to be able to beat them.
They even made your dad learn how to tweet emojis or text emojis. So, you know what? Hey, look, the Patriots are doing something special. Like, I'm not trying to get dig at your dad or anything. As soon as I saw that, though, that gave me a good chuckle earlier today when he said
that. Oh, yeah. No, he can't. He doesn't know how to do anything. So the fact that he was able to tweet that emoji out, text that emoji to me was pretty cool. I was like, you're texting emojis now? What's this all about? He's like, you know, it's the way it is.
You know, like Patriots make people feel a certain way, and like right now, if you're a Pats fan, you're feeling good about this team. That's the only thing I got to say. Quickly before we move on with the conversation, I just got to give a quick shout out to not a sponsor, but a bit of a partner of the. I have a new partner here on YWC Football Talk, and that is Sideline.Sport. I talked about them before, guys. They're on Instagram at Sideline.Sport for all your jersey needs, whether it be NFL, MLB, NBA, even some soccer too. I'm pretty sure they'll be doing hockey sometime soon. So, like I said, guys. For all the jersey needs, just go to sideline.sport. They'll get you what you want. And also, too, tell them that I sent you. Just a quick little shout-out that I had to give. But moving on just for other NFL news and notes throughout the day. Look, the fact that the – I don't know what's more shocking than that Bills-Jags game I want to talk about. The fact that the Bills lost or the fact that it was a field goal game. Like, literally field goals only.
I mean, it was just, like, one of those things. And it shows you enough about the Jags. Like, they took over – a bunch of times. The Bills turned the ball over, what, three or four times? And they should have turned it over another one. Josh Allen got strip sacked on that second to last play of the game. I mean, it wasn't even close. It was clearly a fumble. And they must have said something, forward progress or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, come on, dude. Like, that's foolish. Either way, they turn it over. They get it in field goal range twice. And just like the Panthers, they couldn't do anything with the ball. Jacksonville was brutal today. But their defense played good enough where it was like it didn't even matter. I mean, it was just Josh Allen today. Josh Allen had, well, he ended up with 264 yards passing. Like, he was decent. Trevor Lawrence had 118 yards passing on 15 completions. I mean, they had under 200 yards of offense. They had under 200 yards of offense and won. So that's the stuff where it's like the Bills, you finish with a game like that, and, you know, Josh Allen was your leading rusher. Devin Singletary finished with 16 yards rushing. I mean, they only gave him the ball six times, but, like, you got to run the ball. You have to run the ball a little bit, right? When nothing else is working, you got to run it a little bit, and they weren't able to establish the run at all. They didn't even try, really. And so it's just kind of like, you know, I don't know what the hell was going on with the Bills today. Jacksonville's terrible. They've quit on their head coach for the most part. Although – they've got two wins since Dancegate. So you never know, right? You never know. But
both against the AFC East.
That's a game that you absolutely cannot lose. And you go into Jacksonville and lose that game. I mean, it's like, yikes, man. And so, hey, listen, it's good for the Patriots, but, like, my goodness, to not score in the second half, you're the Bills, to not score at all in the second half and lose on a field goal. I mean, that's brutal. And so, you know, the Bills have a lot of soul searching to do. They have a tough matchup this weekend. And you know, you kind of look at it and say, okay, they obviously look past them. But, like, to look past them and not be able to come back. The Patriots look past the Texans, too. They would have come back in the second half and win the game, right? So, like, for the Bills to not be able to put anything together, it was really, really bad.
I also say with that Texan game, too, because obviously I know you guys are there. I know the events that happened in Houston. I also feel like with that Houston Texan game, though, that the Texans just simply took their foot off the gas and, like, thought, like, hey, you know what, we're good, when they were up 22-9, and then that's when the Patriots really, like, clamped down.
Which is definitely true. Yeah, definitely true. Yeah.
The only thing I'm going to say about today's game was, look, I understand penalties happened. It just felt like there was way too many flags on both sides of the ball, like, for the Patriots game. Like, something about Patriot-Cleet Blakeman games just always seem like Cleet just, like, I don't know if he just wants to, like, flex his muscles or, like, literal muscles. But
oh, he does. Yep.
Yeah, literally, I feel like that's why he wants to make these flags. He's like, guys, look, I got to look good for the camera. I throw those flags whenever you get the chance to.
Yep. Nah, some guys, you just, like, you know that they want to influence the way the game turns out.
Yeah.
They want to be part of the game. And that's what Cleet Blakeman's staff always does. And, you know, it's unfortunate and it stinks and I hate it. But unfortunately, there's nothing you can do about it, right? You kind of have to know that that's coming. And you say, okay, don't make any dumb mistakes. Right? Don't make any stupid mistakes. Don't jump off sides. Don't have to delay games. They got a delay game. They had a delay game after, like, a timeout. It was like, how the hell do you have a delay game after a freaking TV timeout? What the hell are you doing? How is that even possible? I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. Ever. You have a TV timeout and you have a delay game on the first play. So they have some things that they have to fix for sure. You know, obviously, you know, penalties can go either way, but they got some things they really have to fix.
Exactly. The only other results I'll say that were borderline shocking today was, well, I'm mostly angry at the Dallas Cowboys because cost me spread, cost me my money line on my ticket. I went for my parlay. I went 2 for 3 today. I was doing good. And I'm out of my survival pool now because of them. Cost me my survival pool. I should have picked the Colts. I'm still shaking myself at that. But
I was out last week. I picked the Bengals over the Jets.
I mean, it was the Jets. I had the Bills last week.
Yeah.
I took the Bills. But no, you're right. And then this week too, I knew like everyone was asking me because I don't know if you know or not, but I've been posting like weekly NFL bets on my TikTok, and then I do my IG reels with them. And people will ask me like, oh, so what do you think is going to happen? And I kept saying, look, the NFL, like in Vegas mainly, will do this with betting lines where, look, the Bengals had that big win 2 weeks ago against the Ravens. Last week, Jets beat the Bengals. So this week, everyone's thinking, oh, you know what? The Jets are going to cover. There's a chance they're going to win. And I'm like, no. We're not going to do this. It's a short week. Colts are obviously the better team. Not by much, but the Colts are still the better team. Take the Colts to cover, even though they almost had that back door, which scared the hell out of me. They still covered. So look, when it comes to betting lines like that, you got to think realistically. It's like fantasy football too, when you're drafting for a draft. Because like I know, Pat Lane, great fantasy guy with a five minute fantasy.
Yeah.
But I believe that's what it's called. If I butchered it, I apologize.
No, you got it. You got it.
Oh, I'm good.
5 minute fantasy. You got it.
Love it. But it's like with fantasy football, when you like have a feeling that, look, you're going to take a guy, you just go for it. You don't think about it, because when you overthink it is when you're going to screw up. It's like anything in life.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And listen, I mean, some of these matchups today, Chargers Eagles, I was like, 3 points. I mean,
I had the Chargers.
You did?
Yeah, I had the Chargers to cover.
There you go. See? So what was the line?
I was like, the line was weird. It went from like -1 to -2 to a pick'em. I think it may have called, like when I put my ticket into bed, it was Chargers to pick'em. So I figured either way I was winning that one. I had a horrible week besides it, because there's a lot of people I picked. I'll be honest, I picked the Bengals because I thought Bengals were going to bounce back after the Jets game.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's Cleveland to all the controversy and stuff. Ravens kind of.
They were home too, right?
That's the other thing too. They were at home. Like there's a lot of spreads that really got me. I thought the Texans were going to cover after I heard the whole, like, you know, Tua's out and then Tyrod Taylor's back. So I'm like, look, the Dolphins are just bound for destiny.
Just shows you how bad the Texans are. I mean,
yeah.
Tyrod Taylor today with 2-3 interceptions. I mean, just brutal. And that Miami defense stinks. But it's like, you know, Miami's terrible, and they were still able to, you know, to beat the Texans pretty handily. I mean, only winning by 8, but like pretty handily, you know?
Yeah. And I know obviously Brian Flores' name is going to get called, like getting called from hot seat soon. There's one coach though I want to give to you in the NFL. I don't know why his name hasn't been spoken up sooner for that. And that's Kyle Shanahan. Because if you think about it, besides this one season they went to the Super Bowl, they have been having losing seasons. Now, obviously, I know injuries are a big part of that, but I think his name's one you may start hearing more of, but at the same time, too, I feel like because they've been to a Super Bowl recently, he may get by.
To lose today, not just lose, to get blown out today.
By Colt McCoy
without their two best offensive players.
Yeah.
To lose that badly is embarrassing. I mean, that's just embarrassing. And you know, to have – you supposedly have this great defense. You got George Kittle back. Right, I know you lost your running backs and whatever, but like, for God's sakes, man! Like, you're talking about you have your full complement of weapons offensively, except for your number one running back. That's it. That's the only thing you're missing is your running back. So it's like that you should be able to put up enough points. And Arizona's defense is good. Don't get me wrong, Arizona's defense is good, but like, you should be able to put up enough points, and you should be able to stop freaking Colt McCoy, for God's sakes. And they weren't able to do it. An embarrassing loss by San Fran. I think you're right. Like, you know, he is arguably the most overrated coach in the NFL.
22 for 26, 249 yards with a touchdown. And then Jimmy had a better day, because I'm looking at the session. Jimmy went 28 for 40, but 326 yards with a touchdown and a pick. But even to looking at the rushing, their biggest rusher was Mitchell with 36 yards. And then James Conner, who I'll say has had a huge bounce back in Arizona, 96 yards on 21 rushes. With an average of 4.6 yards per carry. Like this, I always thought to Arizona, like, I don't know, everyone was writing them off last week, especially after the AJ Green blunder. But look, Arizona's a good football team, and I think they're just finally breaking through. But the fact that you lost by 14 points to Colt McCoy and let him complete all but 4 passes, that's
really bad. And they only ran the ball 10 times, but like, They were down 14 points by the end of the first quarter, right? They're down 17-0 early in the, well, I guess late in the second quarter. Like, it just got to a point where you have to throw because you're down so much. But, like, you know, man, that's just a bad football team right now. And again, like, you know, maybe they'll bounce back, but, like, that's a bad, bad loss, you know? And the Falcons are another one. Falcons play the Saints, and the Saints, of course, are without Jameis, but, like, the Saints, their calling card all year has been their defense. And to go up and take the lead with a minute left to go in the game and then give up a long pass to Cordell Patterson, it's like, what are you doing? Like, there's two guys you have to cover in Atlanta. It's Kyle Pitts and Cordell Patterson. That's it. Don't worry about anyone else. Russell Gage is going to beat you. Come on. Like, stop it. You know, I guess what Zacharias, whatever the hell that guy named, the guy's name had two touchdowns today. But, like, you know, those are the two guys realistically you have to stop. You come all the way back, you score 24 points in the fourth quarter, and you lose that game. I mean, that's tough to take, right? Well, I guess they didn't score 24 because they scored, because whatever, but they only scored, so they scored 21 because they missed the 2-point conversion. But, like, it's one of those things where you look at it and just say, like, come on, dude, like, you can't possibly lose like that. And they did. And so That's got to be really, really tough to take when you're losing like that. And good for Atlanta. Atlanta, maybe they broke the curse a little bit with the Braves winning. But, you know, they give up three straight touchdowns, you know, with 8 minutes left to go in the game, you know, to almost lose and then come back and win. So it's we'll see. But that's one other one where you're like, man, that's rough, you know.
Exactly. That was a game where actually some people were questioning about that because I took the over in that game. It was at 42 points. And I was like, whenever I see an over around there, like, I almost took the Patriots over, but I'm really glad I didn't. But when I saw that, I was like, look, these teams can score. But then at the same time, too, that shows, look, divisional football is unpredictable. Now, obviously, Bills losing to Jacksonville today, that was unpredictable in a sense if we didn't expect the Bills to do that. But with the Saints and the Falcons, look, a lot of times they play, scores are close. A lot of people had Atlanta winning, but was it good to see Atlanta win? Yes. But at the same time, too, I feel like it was a divisional game. It was what it was. And I feel like the Saints can bounce back. But then I just remembered they play two of their next three is Tennessee, Philadelphia, and Buffalo on Thanksgiving night. And then they have the Cowboys, obviously, because of Thanksgiving. They usually do it Thursday after two teams who play on Thanksgiving. They're going to be tested their next four games.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. And then that's one of those things where it's like, you know, you had to win some of those games. And to get behind the eight ball and lose that game is really difficult. It's just makes it makes your life very difficult if you're trying to make the playoffs. So, you know, and that's the boat that everyone's in, right? And some people win early and then lose kind of in the middle and then have to fight back. But, you know, I'd much rather be in a situation the Patriots are in right now where you're feeling good about your team, you know, that some of the teams right now that are in that kind of that same situation. Again, Saints are in that kind of same situation the Patriots are in, but I feel better about being a Patriots fan than I do about being a Saints fan right now, you know?
Exactly. I live with one of them. My dad, for some reason, he's a diehard Saints fan. Diehard Saints fan. When I tweeted on an Odell Beckham photo, Beckham Jr. jersey photo on a Patriots thing, he tweeted one of the Saints photo right back at me, just being like, oh, no. I'm like, look, with that one, we'll see what happens. It'd be great to get him, but at the same time, too, do we want the cap hit? That's a question that remains to be seen.
Well, I'm curious about that. That's going to be – what's going to happen is that OBJ is not going to get claimed. No one's claiming him because if someone wanted to claim him, they would have just traded for him because, like, why are you going to claim him? That's stupid, right? It doesn't make any sense to claim him on that huge price tag. And so you let him clear waivers, and then you let him pick where he wants to go. And if I'm the Patriots, I say, hey, look, you want to come here? Great. Here's what we're paying you. If you'll come for that, great. If you won't, well, then you'll have to go somewhere else, you know? And for him, if I'm OBJ, the biggest thing that I'm concerned about right now is not – obviously winning is obviously huge, but is turning your image around. Your image is so bad right now if you're OBJ. People think that you're a dog, that you quit on your team, and that you stink. You need to go somewhere that's going to, A, showcase your talents, but also, B, put you in a spot where people are going to say, okay, I can win with that guy. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. And, you know, and I can win with him as a number one receiver. You got to go somewhere like that. Is that New England? I don't know, but it could be. It could be. And so, you know, we'll see. But like, I really think that New England makes a lot of sense for him. Again, he's got the clear waivers, but I'd be very surprised at this point. I'd be very surprised if they didn't do that. So we'll see. But I'd be very surprised if they decided to if someone decided to claim tomorrow.
100%. We'll wait and see. Also, just a quick score check. It is 21-6 now for the Tennessee Titans as they have the ball currently, I believe, halfway through the third quarter. I'm just like looking up on my phone. I'll obviously watch this when we get out of here after this. But I just can't stress how good it feels to like be in this position right now, to be in 5-4 this is going to sound weird, as I have Kirk Herbstreit staring at me because I have this book on my table, which, by the way, people, highly, highly recommend. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to show it right now. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see it right here. Out of Pocket, Football, Fatherhood, and College Game Day Saturdays. Highly recommend. A very interesting story. He's a very good story to tell.
It's good to know. It's hard for me to read books right now because I got a lot going on in my life. But yeah, I've heard good things about it. So it's one that I'll have to try to check out, you know?
Yeah, like the Seth Wickersham one, I want to read it, but then there's part of me that does not want to read it. I saw Spags got it, so I was going to maybe just ask him on the side, be like, hey, what did you think of this book? But part of me doesn't want to, because there's one that we've referenced on the show before, and especially when you've been on, because it's over there on one of my nightstands, but The Dynasty by Jeff Benedict, I feel, tells a better story. And even, too, I remember seeing there was a celebration of, I think they were showing Super Bowls, and then they showed the Patriots-Rams one when the kick happened, and you see Lawyer Malloy and Bill Belichick hug, and I'm like, he releases you 2 years later, and then you hate his guts, which that's what Bill's best at, which that still shocks me that
those fences have been mended. But I mean, but you're right. Like, the Wickersham stuff for me, I have zero interest in that stuff. I have zero interest because the thing for me is that some of it might be true. And there might be a kernel of truth to some of it. And then you hear some of the stuff like, Belichick threatened Mangini and they had this big fight where they almost like came to blows in front of all the coaches in 2007.
Or that traded this year's draft apparently for Jimmy.
And it's like, come on, dude. Like in 2000, you're telling me in 2007 they almost fought in front of all the coaches in the NFL and we never heard about it? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Because why would anyone, it's not like it happened in the locker room, it happened in front of all the other coaches. You tell me one of those guys wouldn't be like, dude, you can't believe what happened. And then someone finds out from someone else, like that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And maybe they would have maybe they would have traded a second round pick for Jimmy G. I don't think that they would have, but maybe they would have, right? But like, I just think to me, you say, and then Seth comes out and says, well, I never said they traded a second round pick for him. But it's like, well, why would you call and ask? That's the stupidest thing ever. Like I tweeted out afterwards. I'm like, okay, would you want Jimmy G for a second round pick? Would you trade Jimmy G for a second round pick? No, we won it first. Oh, okay, well, that's good because I wasn't going to trade him for a second round pick anyways. I was just curious. Like, why would you do that? That's stupid, right? So it's like, that's the stuff for me where it's like, once you lie about one thing, once you're not truthful about one thing, why am I going to believe anything that you say? And that's where I'm at right now with Seth Wickersham, where it's like, okay, he's going to say some things that are truthful, but like, I have a really hard time believing some of the stuff that he says because I know for a fact he's lying about some of it. So it's like, okay, if you're lying and embellishing about a few of the things, then how can I trust that you're not lying and embellishing about all of the things?
100%. And that's the reason why like I don't want to read it is just because, look, I know that this guy's come on here and he said enough shit about the team to the point where it's like, look, what am I supposed to believe from you? And then now you expect me to read this book? Like, look, if you're a Pats fan out there, you want to read the book, great. I just feel like at the same time, too, if you read it, take a lot of the stuff with a grain of salt. The next big football book I see out there that I see myself reading personally is the Mike Florio Playmakers book, but that unfortunately doesn't come out until the offseason. So it'll give me something to focus on during the offseason, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens this offseason. I don't even want to think about it. It's like whenever I hear draft stuff already and like prospects, I'm like, I am enjoying this season now. I still like listening to what prospects are there, and I already keep preaching the I don't know if you've heard any of our episodes, but Keegan and I are both on the Chris Olave Patriot train for next year. So we'll see what happens there, but I don't want to think about the offseason until it gets here.
I am firmly, firmly in the Chris Olave boat as well.
We got a third. Love it.
We'll see. We'll see. But I hope he keeps getting pushed down. Just keep pushing him down the draft board. Chris Olave stinks. Don't pay any attention to that guy. He's terrible. Just ignore him. It's, you know, they, you don't want that guy on your team.
No, 100%.
And we'll see if he gets pushed far enough down. Maybe the Patriots trade out of the first round and end up drafting him early in the second. Who knows? You know, we'll see. But he's a guy that just he was coming out last year. Obviously, didn't come out last year. Couldn't because he was too young. But I was like, man, that guy's so good. And because I don't really watch college football, I watch a little bit, but I don't really watch college football. And I was like, that guy's awesome. I'm like, Patriots should draft that guy. And they're like, well, they can't. And I'm like, shit. All right, maybe next year then. You know, so he's a guy that I've wanted for, and I'm sure you know everyone else that actually follows college football has probably felt the same way for even longer, right? So, but yeah, no, he's a guy that definitely is a lot of fun.
100%. Well, anyway, like we said, it's Victory Sunday. Victory Monday starts as I look at my clock in 1:25. Yep. That's going to do it for us here at YWC Football Talk for episode 126, which still shocks me that I'm already here at this point, but I'm just, this train ain't stopping soon, folks. I have a couple great episodes coming out this week. As I have week 10, actually, which feels weird to say, I have my Cleveland Brown fan, Andy McNamara from Rogers Sports, enough here coming on. We're going to preview the game. And then also, too, on Tuesday, I have Book It Trent. If you don't know who he is, he's famous on TikTok and Twitter for betting picks. He'll be here on Tuesday. But anyway, folks, that's going to do it for episode number 126 of YWC Football Talk. Big thanks to Pat Lane once again for coming on. Anyway, guys, we'll see you sometime. We'll see you next week on Tuesday. But anyway, guys, go Patriots.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.